Yeah, we were flipping out at that point.
I was just annoyed. I was like, why would they even be here to do that? Like, it's such a waste of time and money and, like, blah, 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 blah.
Hello and welcome to the Press Start podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And Shannon.
Hello.
This week, we're going to be discussing the biggest announcements from Summer Game Fest 2025, but first, let me wind the clock back to Wednesday, midnight. Me and my mum went down to our local EB Games to pick up our Nintendo Switch 2s. By the end of the launch day, we each had our own, and we've spent the weekend with them. In amongst all of the Summer Game Fest stuff, granted, it's been a pretty action-packed weekend. I don't know about you guys, I'm feeling pretty exhausted, but Shannon, maybe first to you. It's out there in the wild now. You've kind of had a bit of a head start in getting your hands on the console early, but are you pleased to see everyone getting it and seemingly enjoying it so far? I think the reaction's been pretty positive, right?
Well, not in this release cycle. I feel like I was the last person in Australia to get it, if not the world. So,
I was thinking about like the previous and stuff that you've had.
The world.
What was the question? Okay. Do I like it? Am I liking it?
Are you pleased to see people finally getting their hands on them and seemingly enjoying them as well?
I think so. I mean, there's still a lot of negativity, and it feels like it is overwhelmingly negative online at the moment. But yeah, I think for the most part, people are enjoying it that have it, which is the main thing, really. It's cool to see.
Well, James, you and I hadn't had any opportunity to like hold the thing until we had our own unit. What were your first impressions of the device itself?
It's way better. I think, like, physically to feel and hold, it is definitely, like, a bit more primo feeling.
Sure. That was the first thing that, like, the build quality just feels so much better. Like, all like the metal work and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and when it's all together, so it just feels, like, together. Because I feel like the Switch 1, the rails just constantly are, like, shaking, you know?
Yeah, the Joy-Cons feel like way more solid on there, don't they? I was very very impressed with that. And the screen as well, which has like been a big talking point too, I suppose, not being an OLED. Having come from like a launch day Nintendo Switch, I thought the screen looks fantastic. Like it's way brighter, it's obviously way bigger. But I think the brightness of the screen and probably the high resolution felt like large enough a jump in my mind. Maybe I'd have been like a bit spoiled had I had an OLED.
Yeah, but I need to do some, I haven't really like put them side by side or anything because I've purely either been making content or just enjoying playing. But like I definitely, it's not an OLED. Like it's a great LCD screen, but there are times where it like it's not as vibrant or like the blacks aren't as black. Like but it's a good LCD.
Yeah. And how are you guys finding the battery life so far? We've obviously been putting it through its paces. Are you pleased with how it's holding up? Or
That's for me, like, that's the only thing I would say is not the best. But for me, like, I've been playing it kind of while doing other things. I mainly play at home is what I'm trying to say. So
yeah,
that for me won't be as much of an issue, but I think a lot of people who use it portably a lot will notice the difference. It feels very much like launch Switch.
I will say, though, like, with what they've done in terms of the size and the skinniness of it, like, the battery is, like, a quarter of the size of the one in the ROG LAX, and, like, it lasts longer for, like, Cyberpunk. So it's, like, very impressive how powerful it is given, like, the low wattage that it's running in handheld mode. So they've done well with what they've had to work with.
I've been playing quite a bit of Cyberpunk on it, and, like, I've not had a stopwatch running, but I feel like I've got, like, a couple of hours of, like, pretty solid play out of it before it's kind of needed some more juice.
I think
it's pretty
fine.
Good going, really, for a game like that intensive. And might I say, Cyberpunk looks incredible on it, and I think, like, it's a good the way they've adopted all the different controller schemes as well is really quite impressive. I was kind of undecided as to which was the best way to play it, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, like, most of the Windows handhelds are, like, 40 to 50 minutes, which, like, you know as soon as you turn it on that, like, you can see the battery ticking down. I don't feel that with this. Like, it is, you can see it ticking down faster than the Switch one, but it's fine. And yeah, Cyberpunk, I only played it handheld for the first time today after going hands-on in TV mode at both events. And it's just impressive. Like, the way it uses everything, even better than, like, Nintendo games, is just they've done really, really well with that. And that's definitely the benchmark going forward for AAA.
Yeah, I was showing James as well the fact that it's got different graphical settings too. Like, you can have a quality mode or you can have a performance mode too. And truthfully, I was playing on performance. Like, I thought it looked fantastic, even a little lower res to get that sort of 60 frames. So
yeah, it looks great.
It's an excellent
showcase. I really thought it would be like you'd notice a big difference. And like, you do notice a slight difference, but like, it's not to the point that you're like, wow, this feels like it's compromised, like The Witcher was on the original Switch, for instance. Yeah. It's great.
Brady, what about you? What's your first weekend with the Switch been like? What have you been playing?
Yeah, pretty much just been trying to finish up, obviously, Welcome Tour and Mario Kart, which the full reviews are out for those now. I've also tucked into a little bit of Cyberpunk. I played a little bit of that today. And I've gone back to play Mario Wonder because I really didn't play it on the original Switch at all. I had it. I played maybe the first world and then I sort of bounced out. So sort of good to go back and play that. So I'm having fun like loading up all these virtual cards, but I haven't really tucked into a heap of them yet. But yeah, to just echo basically what everyone has said, like I'm pretty impressed with it. Like it's what I wanted. It's basically a more improved, better version of the Switch, basically. Like they haven't messed with the thing that they had. They haven't thrown the baby out with the bathwater and done something silly and you know, got rid of all that goodwill. They've actually doubled down on it, and I think it's a handy little console.
It's kind of gone everywhere with me the last few days. Even whilst I've like been around seeing family or whatever, it's been like a long weekend here in Melbourne as well. It's kind of come with me and my mum, especially, like been comparing notes, and she was showing me Survival Kids running on it, and then I was showing her Cyberpunk. So it's been a ton of fun. James, what did you make of Mario Kart? We managed to play a little bit of that together over the weekend as well.
Yeah, it's good. I didn't like Mario Kart historically because I thought I was bad at it, but then I played with you guys and I realized I wasn't so bad.
Okay.
same.
I think we had some competitive races. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it more than other Mario Kart games, put it that way.
Yeah. It was a bit of fun with the game chat functionality in the Switch too. Like, we had our cameras on and we were watching each other kind of zip past and
I think game
red
chat
shell each other.
On that, game chat is genuinely quite good. I think it is a really fun way to kind of make online just a little bit more social. Like, I'm sure you wouldn't want to do it all the time. But I can see, especially with Mario Party, when you can't get everyone in the same room, to have everyone like still like there is kind of, I can see the potential for it already. I think it's a really like nice twist on something that a lot of people are saying every other console has that, but like not like this, you know?
No, I agree. I think it's more of the novelty. It does feel like something developed in COVID, and I kind of wish it did exist when COVID was around. We were all in lockdown, because it's almost like you're streaming to one another, right? Like, you can see someone's camera icon, assuming they've got a camera connected, and you can see their gameplay, albeit very kind of choppy, low frame rate. But yeah, the fact that that's all kind of happening on screen whilst you see your game, I think is pretty neat. And I like this kind of different presentation options. Like, you can kind of have your screen a bit smaller and your friends larger, this kind of an in-between step, and then you can have your gameplay full screen and not see your friends at all, other than how they're like presented in game, like above their Mario Kart or something like that. But yeah, I think it's implemented pretty well. My only annoyance with it is I think it's a bit fiddly to navigate through all the settings and like change how it's presented on screen. It'd be nice if there was some like hotkeys or something for that, so you could like quickly pop up your friends and then go back to full screen or something like that. But I reckon we'll see those software updates kind of come in time, and it'll gradually become a better experience as we go. Did you enjoy the game chat functionality, Shannon? You were taking part in that too.
Yeah, I like how easy it is to just sort of jump in and get it going. The voice chat just works on the console, I think, except for first 15 minutes when we played the first time. Like, I was just using the console mic, which obviously like is at my TV. To my knowledge, it still worked perfectly. And I do think that is just the way people are going to use it is how easy it is to get into it. I think there is like a few little Nintendo quirks in terms of like not being able to add people once you've kicked it off and things like that. But as a starting point, I think it works super well. And I hope they build on it because I do think they could do some really cool stuff with gameplay. And like there's game share type stuff that I don't think any of us have tried, like that they've added to existing games and new games where you're like in-game chat and then you can... I guess Mario Kart was an example of that. But yeah, like Mario Odyssey, you can now control Cappy whilst in-game chat. So I think there's going to be some really fun stuff that Nintendo do with that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm eager to see how our thoughts on the console kind of change and evolve over time. And obviously, this is just the start of a new Nintendo generation. But yeah, I'm very happy with it so far and excited to see where it goes. For now, though, let's talk about Summer Game Fest and the week of announcements that was and kind of still ongoing. I feel like there might be a showcase or still to happen. Remembering the calendar. But the weekend of announcements kicked off with a surprise PlayStation State of Play last week, but included Summer Game Fest showcase and Xbox showcase as well, of course, and including some Australian and New Zealand representation at the Frosty Games showcase too, which I thought was cool to see. Brody, first to you, we tuned in for a fair few of them. Which showcase stole the show in your mind? Which was the best of the bunch?
Yeah, I don't know that any really stole the show. Like, I think all of them for me had, you know, bits and pieces that I really liked, but I don't know if there's necessarily a standout. I think if I had to pick one just that speaks to me more on the whole, it would probably still be Xbox. Like there was a boatload of filler in there, I think, still, but there was a lot of cool games there that were announced that do speak to me. So I think of the lot, I'd say Xbox. Yeah.
Do you think it kind of addressed the concerns we've shared on the podcast before about what the latter half of this year looks like for Xbox? Are you now more comfortable what the rest of 2025 looks like?
Not necessarily, no. I'm pretty excited for 2026, I can tell you that. But yeah, look, I still can't really think of what their back half of the year would look like. I mean, they've got Gears in August. I think it's suggested that COD is this year, but I don't know if I've seen that confirmed anywhere. So yeah, I mean, in terms of like their first party output, it was definitely front-ended this year, I would say. So it's a shame that the back end is going to be a bit quieter, but I mean, it's just a good time to catch up, I suppose.
Yeah, I saw you kind of shaking your head there, James, when I asked if they've addressed what 2025 looks like. Was that a little bit of a downer for the showcase for you?
Yes. Sorry.
The pregnant pause.
No, I don't know. I thought it was really average. I loved that they were showing gameplay. Like, it was all their stuff was gameplay, no matter how rough it looked. I really, really commend them for that. But yeah, I mean, besides one obvious announcement at Summer Games Fest, I genuinely think that the PlayStation presentation was the best one. Just had a nicer range of games. I don't know what it was. I think with Xbox, like, there's just so many projects they've had in the works for so long now, like Everwild and Contraband and the State of Decay 3 and Perfect Dark. Fable is meant to be out next year. Like, I just don't know where everything is. And to end with COD, like, I get it.
It is in kind of an awkward way too, right? Like, it just wasn't, like, it didn't feel like a typical COD trailer.
It was also like how they led into it as well, like by teasing next year, and like obviously they were teasing Halo and then they went into COD.
I don't know what I would have loved to have seen that would have been better, but I just didn't find it as... I feel like Xbox normally has pretty good ones, but this time I just didn't feel that at all.
I think we have to expect that they're going to get into this sort of cycle, though, with like as many IP and properties as they have. Like, you're not going to see Fable 2 years in a row. I think it's going to be like a, hey, we'll show you 1 year, we'll take a couple years off it, and then
I understand.
I feel like Fable should be like now, like it
Fable
should be soon.
A year away.
I honestly think we'll probably get more of like Fable at Game Awards or something, and that's when we'll get the date and all that. Like,
yeah, I guess I'm just like sick of being like, oh, next year looks good for Xbox. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like
we have to, like, even if there's a bit of a quiet latter half of this year, 2025 has still been good for Xbox.
The first half
right?
was good. Yeah, 100%. I was literally about to say that. But But
yeah.
Yeah. To answer your question,
I think even if the year ended now, you'd still take it as being pretty strong. And we've got like a handheld coming out later this year, which granted isn't a game, but yeah, and with Hollow Knight, I guess.
even that was really odd because like why would you have that be the main thing in the handheld and then Sarah Bond talk about it, but it just not be there? I just don't understand what would even lead to that happening.
I'm just really puzzled about Hollow Knight entirely because it's like everyone was like talking about it, but it like didn't show up basically. Like there was no, unless something's still to happen or they've got some, I don't know.
Well, I think like it's going to be in the Nintendo Direct, but then again, yeah. Xbox chose to make it like the hero of this thing. So I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's almost like the Nintendo Direct was meant to have happened already and it was like meant to have a release date and a proper unveiling and stuff. But it's just, it's not. yeah, I don't know where I come down on the showcases. Maybe Summer Game Fest. Like, I thought it was a pretty kind of weak Summer Game Fest showcase, like, compared to previous years. Agreed. Which, I'm not knocking it for necessarily. Like, it's not always going to be able to be as good as it was the previous year or whatever. It's really just dependent on where games are at and the release cycles and who's prepared to talk about what. But despite it being one of the weaker ones, I think it still had the most kind of games and announcements that personally sort of spoke to me. And I came away from that showcase with a bunch of new games for my wish list, which is kind of what I hope to get out of a weekend such as this. So, yeah, that was probably the strongest of the bunch for me. Did you share yours, Shannon? Was there one that rose above?
Not really. I'll be honest. Like, they were all pretty average this year. I don't know if it's just because I kind of wanted to be doing Switch 2 stuff. Like, I feel like that probably did play a little part of it. Like, there were moments in all of them. I think the Summer Game Fest one was the worst just because it went for 2 hours and it felt like it could have been 15 minutes in terms of length. And like James said, the State of Play was at least like 40 minutes. The Xbox one was an hour. I felt like the Xbox one was weird how it just wrapped up. Like, we were waiting for more. Yeah, just a weird season. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think we've just kind of fallen into like a quieter patch of the year, which maybe if we consider like we're halfway through the current console generation, maybe that's like pretty true to form. That there's a bit of a lull in the middle.
No. For Xbox though, like you choose to have it. Like I feel like Jeff kind of has to have his because like he can't lose that spot. But like everyone else, they're choosing to put these on, right? So like, you've either got the stuff, like even the Bethesda stuff, like do we need to see Fallout 76 and The Elder Scrolls Online? Like, and have a big Bethesda Presents intro to those? I just don't think that's how you do it.
Yeah, I think we just kind of know to expect those at this point.
Yeah, but I... Yeah.
And I think there were still some very big announcements in the Xbox.
It was never going to be as good as last year because that was like wall-to-wall big stuff. I do think like State of Decay 3, like that was the first game they announced and there's just been nothing on it ever. So like stuff like that, if we're not seeing it, it has to be worrying. I think I do
want to get to our predictions at some point. But
what, Brody?
Didn't we say State of Decay last year?
But it was announced 6 years ago. Like, just said where is it?
See it. Like, pick a lane, bro.
But I want to see it, and like, there's the release date, and it's coming out. Like, I don't want to see it every 2 years at this point.
Yeah, we've been spoiled. You're being spoiled.
I don't think we've been spoiled for State of Decay 3. Like that, you announce that, and then you put it out. You don't tease it for 7 years.
I have to
years.
Say, I'm with Shannon. I say that like, I think there's some of these that you don't want to rush a game, but it's like this game kind of should be seeing the light of day now, or should we have a pretty clear idea where this is?
You could throw a stone and say that about any of these games though. Like Everwild should have been out.
I really hope
Everwild should include in that camp. Yeah.
And like E-Day, like I'm expecting that like next year, but my sense is that it's going to be like 3 years away now, just based on what we've seen from Xbox.
They said next year.
I think like on the other side of things, like say Clockwork Revolution, that was revealed last year and we've now got full gameplay for it a year later. Like I feel like that pipeline to me is a lot more like that promotional pipeline is more
and it looked really good as
realistic
well.
And attainable like than say State of Decay as an example or Everwild.
I found that a strange showcase though as well, like the Clockwork Revolution part particularly. It looks great
long. Or something,
but it was like a long showing for a game that they still haven't put a date on. Like it's really strange.
Well, that's in 2 years, thought... we can expect to see it again going off Brody's
prediction. Yeah, you'll see a trailer, and then we'll never hear about it again. And then, yeah.
I do think Xbox is more clear. I do think, like, there was a point where they just had to announce everything because they had nothing. And I think that's changing now. Like, Grounded 2 and stuff.
This isn't just an Xbox thing as well. Like, a PlayStation, if anyone, probably started this trend, right? Like, how many years went by before we were like, when is the last Guardian, like, ever going to...
No, that's not the same thing. So, but like, Ghost of Yatai, we had, and Ragnarok, and we all said it wasn't coming, and then they just dropped the date, and it was out a few months later.
We do get trailers for games that then kind of go quiet for a long time. Maybe not as long as some of these Xbox games have happened. Like, no. I mean, Wolverine, like, you could kind of say, where was the Wolverine trailer this year or whatever? Like, there's a few games in that sort of camp.
But I think what Shannon is trying to say is so when they bring back Wolverine next, right, we'll see gameplay and probably have a date. We won't just get another 3-minute trailer and then nothing. Like, radio silence again. Like, sure, there is a gap between the initial announcement and whatever. But, like, I feel like, especially with Yotai, it was the same. Like, we had an announcement and then something later and then a date. Like, it just happens.
I don't want to be super down on Xbox because I do think it's been better, a lot better. Like, I know that was ending on the, like, next year is going to be a big year, but, like, there's been a lot more from them. And, like, they are doing a lot of great things with Game Pass. Like, when you look at the list of, like, Ninja Gaiden, they're out of it. Like, there's a lot of good games still this year. I think it's just their big games where, there's still an issue with the marketing of them, and they just go missing for years and years and then kind of just come out with no marketing.
Yeah.
And that's an issue.
Well, let's get stuck into some of the specific games. We've already touched on a few there, I suppose, but I reckon it's worthwhile getting into some of the weeds. And because Xbox had some pretty heavy hitters in there. I personally was, like, very excited to see Grounded 2 coming into early access this year. I loved Grounded, so to see that coming. And I thought, like, although I've played them, obviously it's great for the Final Fantasy games to be coming over to Xbox. I thought the Invincible Versus announcement was pretty huge deal for them too, as well, as was Persona 4 Revival as well. So, like, I think they had a stack of good announcements in there. James, was there any announcements from the Xbox showcase, or, like, more generally, that particularly resonated with you?
Are we just talking Xbox?
You can start with Xbox. Yeah, let's start with Xbox. Okay.
Where was Theta Decay?
We can delay you talking about Resident Evil 9 a little bit.
I'm just having a quick scroll. I think Persona is cool, but that was weird. Like, I don't know what happened there, because that's been in development for ages, apparently, and then we got that really random, short-lived teaser.
I took from that teaser this game still has a long way to go.
Yeah, which is, like, odd.
They showed, like three or four shots of gameplay.
Persona 6 is also meant to be close, so I'm not too sure what the goal is there, but whatever. I actually really, even though it does look rough, but I can see the vision, is Blood of Dawnwalker, the ex-CD Projekt Red People's game. I think that conceptually looks really interesting, and I know it's not, like, this massive open-world RPG. It's, like, this kind of, like, AA. I think it's, like, a Daith system or something. From memory, like, you have to, but that looks really good. Ninja Gaiden does look good, but revisiting that with Ninja Gaiden 2, I don't know if I still like those games, so I'm still gonna obviously try it, but I liked that. I think the big one for me is probably Chronos. I think the gameplay for Chronos looks really good. I'm still skeptical as to whether they can pull it off, I think it's really cool, and it's great to know that it's still coming this year. I really thought that would slip. But it doesn't seem to be, which is really good. So there's like others, but I feel like I'm saying too many.
Chronos looked good. I thought you might have mentioned Aphelion. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. The Don't Nod game, just because I know you and I really liked Banishers, and this kind of felt like a game of that ilk from Don't Nod.
I don't see that personally.
Albeit a very...
I'm happy.
Well, like, it's a very
wrong.
Different vibe genre, but at the it's more of, like, it's kind of more of that heavy character focused narrative kind of game.
That's what they do.
The Banishers was versus, but, like, from a third person, someone help me out here. Third person, like, it's more that than it is Life is Strange, right? Like,
it's an action game, yes.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Like, I don't, what about yourself, Brody? What stood out to you in Xbox, if we start there?
I just love, just if I could go back 10 seconds, I love how carefully you said the word ilk. Just so
careful. I was hoping you would notice that.
So carefully.
I was like, it's not elk, it's ilk.
Indeed. Look, a couple that stuck out to me, and like obviously these are, like one in particular is very Brody-coded. It's the sequel to Planet of Lana. I really liked the first game quite a bit. This one looks quite good, but the only thing that concerns me is like they've scoped up and it's like double the size of the first one, which I don't know that I necessarily want. I think the first one was pretty well paced, so I guess we'll see what happens there. Mudang Two Hearts looks interesting. Like a combination of like stealth and obviously shooty parts. It looks like almost like a Splinter Cell game, but like obviously with a very unique setting. Like it's, I think it's South Korea on the verge of reunifying with North Korea, and you protect a K-pop star like throughout this big conspiracy thing. Like it sounds very, it's a very cool conceit.
It's very Metal Gear Solid inspired, apparently, according to the devs. So
yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And then obviously the big one that probably jazzed me quite a bit would be Double Fine's next game, Keeper.
Yeah,
which coming this year, very cool. It's not what I thought. All the rumors suggested they were working on something else, but obviously there may be sort of like DNA throughout for this, and it's a very, very cool idea. It sounds like it's going to be like one of these big feels games, so again, speaks to me. So,
For Double Fine, they must have two projects, right? Because I feel like they made a very big deal about how this wasn't Tim Schafer's game, it was like the other guy.
True.
Lee Petty, I think.
Lee Petty, yeah.
Lee Perry. so yeah, I don't know, but
maybe they have a history of kind of like working on multiple projects simultaneously, right? Having some overlap between them at least. I think Double Fine like continued to kind of amaze me with just how creative their games always are. There's maybe always a bit of like kind of some hallmark Double Fine traits to them. It's cool to see them continually like exploring new IPs, and this, it looks really quite unique. I encourage you to watch the trailer if you've not already. What about yourself, Shannon? Was there anything from Xbox's showcase that particularly grabbed you that we've not yet mentioned?
I think everyone's kind of touched on the main things. I'm keen to play Gears of War again. I love Gears, so I'm keen to jump on that. Probably on PS5 or Switch 2 if we ever get that. Grounded 2, I remember having a bit of fun in that, so it was cool to see another game from Obsidian. That was early access, like next month-ish from memory, wasn't it? Or in the next month or two?
Next month, yeah.
Keeper looked really good, just from like an art point of view. That was kind of it, to be honest.
Just a shout out, another couple. My mum's very excited about Resonance of Plague Tale Legacy. Spoken about her a lot today. She's getting lots of shout outs, but she loves those games. So I was excited to see that, albeit it did leak early. I also thought it was cool to see some of Game Freak's game as well.
Oh, yeah, that one was cool. I'm loving all the memes. Wild.
That looks really quite cool, and obviously very different for what we know Game Freak for with the Pokemon games. And Indiana Jones getting some DLC. I thought that was great as well. I really enjoyed Indiana Jones. It kind of a bit of like awkwardly placed in terms of the Game of Year discussion, because I think it was like technically released very late last year, but maybe in contention for the Game Awards this year, if I'm not mistaken. But in my mind, it was, really great game. It's kind of... I'm pleased that I get to dive back into that. And Meat Boy as well, having a 3D... Super Meat Boy 3D getting announced. Very, very cool. That was what my brother was messaging me about this morning. He was like, holy shit, Super Meat Boy 3D, that is my jam. I think it was well and truly covered off everything Xbox there. We spoke a little bit about PlayStation in their showcase. Obviously, there were a bunch more. James, over the rest of the weekend, what else did you want to shout out? What other games were you loving the look of?
I'm keen for Bond. I don't like the name, but I'm like super keen to try that.
007 First Light, is that what it's called from memory?
It just sounds like... isn't that an infamous game as well? Like, I feel like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're right.
Literally pick anything else. Like, I don't know. new shine or something. I don't know. No, that sounds shit. But
it sounds like he's just bought a new pair of shoes. Like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Maybe he does. That can be the story. I'm excited to see more of Silent Hill and to confirm it's out this year.
How good did that trailer look? It looked awesome.
Why are you skeptical it's not out this year?
I didn't think it was out this year, but they've dated it now. So
they have. It just sounded like you had some insider.
It might still be slipping, maybe.
No, I think you're missing the timeline of my talk. My talk. I don't know. I think you misunderstood my tense. But as much as I enjoyed that trailer, I don't think it looks that scary.
What?
I know. I don't know. You're just too seasoned. No, that's not true. Like, SH2 Remake, I remember. But actually, I felt the same about that, too. I thought that didn't look scary, and that game scared me more than I thought it would, so.
Oh, man. I'm still here to finish it. I just can't bring myself to.
Yeah, I'm keen to play it. I'm, like, excited to play it. I'm excited that I get to play it soonish. So, yeah, like, that's exciting in a way. But I'm still skeptical. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they can pull off an original game these days, but we'll see. I'm just scrolling through the Sony one at the moment. Someone else talk about Sony.
Shannon, what else? What other games stood out to you? While James works his way through the PlayStation list, he still gets to mention Resident Evil. It's amazing that he's
waiting
not
for it. He figures it's got
he's
its own
waiting
topic
for it.
Oh, hang on, James. Let me prompt you. What about Romeo as a Dead Man? I thought that looked sick.
Yeah, that is cool. That is very cool. I love No More Heroes and Shadows of the Damned. And pretty much everything that Suda does. The fact that he's got a new game coming is great.
They've never really appealed to me, although they may well be up my street. Up my alley, even. Romeo is a Dead Man. Like, I think just kind of more the gameplay of it kind of spoke to me. So this might be my first Suda 51 game.
What did y'all feel about this Marvel fighting game that they ended their show with? Like, what are, like,
I just,
as
I'm
people who
I'm
don't
not
play
the audience.
Fighters, what do you, yeah,
I'm not
like,
the audience.
Yeah, I'm not the yeah. audience either.
And
I'm
not going to change it.
I was the same with Invincible Versus. I was like, holy shit, this looks mad. And then I'm like, oh, it's a fighting game. I'm never going to play it. I'm just not a fighting game guy. It's just not a genre that speaks to me.
I feel like this but means really cool. No Marvel vs. Capcom 5 coming ever. Like, this seems to be the commitment now, because you're not going to have two tag fighters at once, right?
I feel like that was always going to be a stretch, wasn't it? Just from...
All of the stars were aligning, but now, like, a comet has
it's
come
It's over.
By.
A black hole has sucked it all up.
I wonder if modern-day Marvel are all that interested in that kind of a game. Maybe they just want their IP.
The world just feel totally different, I think.
It's disappointing, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
I don't know about this, to be honest. And then speaking of I don't know about this, what are our thoughts on Pragmata?
That's what I was going to call out. You've just taken the words
the big
out of my mouth. I think it looks good. And, like, reading about the gameplay and how you control both players sort of separately, I think there's going to be a cool gameplay element to it that's unlike anything Capcom have done. So that's nice.
It's definitely on my radar, for sure. I thought the trailer looked really cool.
I'm shocked it's back, to see more, to be honest, but I'm glad.
I thought it was going to be, like, Deep Down on the PS3. Like, just forget about it and cancel it, but...
This was the kind of joke that they even made in the trailer, right? Like, 2026, like, sorry, yes, it's real, something like that was on the final slide. I thought it looked cool. It kind of gave me, I don't know, like a bit of Dead Space kind of vibes, albeit very...
Not at all. What are you talking about?
It's not horror, but, like, it's...
It just looks
just
like
the gameplay of it looks kind of...
Like a third-person shooter.
Yeah,
like, in space.
I think she's
it's the first thing that springs in my head.
Her voice is so annoying. Like, if that's going to be yapping at you the whole game, like, I think I'm out. Like, I don't know. Like,
clip that.
Just play it on mute.
Yeah, but no, I don't want to do that either. But this looks like a game that should have been like a launch title for like new gen or something. Do you know what I mean? Like cool tech or some shit. Like, it looks simple, and there's, like, there's not much to it. And it's
I don't know. I feel like it's early days. It's not. I thought it was a strong enough showing to see. I feel like we're going to see much more of this game, though. Like, I want to see more gameplay before I can, like, properly make an assessment of that.
I think just because I feel like Capcom wouldn't release something if they didn't really think it was great. So I believe in them, even if you're letting your belief go.
Yeah, where is the sudden Capcom doubt come from, James? 100%. Like, you're usually banging on about how great they are and they're just doing everything right at the moment.
Can I just ask? I literally just said I didn't like look for Pragmata. Like, how is that Capcom doubt?
Because you're doubting them.
I'm just surprised you're as skeptical on this game as you are.
I'm not
going to
sit here and glaze everything they put out, even if it's like...
But speaking of...
What have you been doing for the last decade? I think it looks good. I'm actually keen for it.
I don't. So, I'm happy to be proven
wrong. Okay, wow.
I guess I'm just disappointed that I'm excited about a Capcom game and you're not sharing that excitement with me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm sure there's others in the Summer Games Fest presentation that we can share excitement about.
There very much is. Before we get there, though, Brody, we've been focusing in on the PlayStation Showcase or the State of Play. Was there anything from there you wanted to call out?
Probably the only thing that jumped out at me that...
Lumines.
Oh, yeah, Lumines is the one that would jump out at me. I'm from the Tetris Effect team. What are we laughing at?
He was laughing at Ken.
Yeah, I said Ken. The real-time gameplay. The climbing game. If you believe it.
Sorry. I was like, what the fuck are we talking about? Game.
It's a climbing joke.
Yeah, so anyway. Lumines Arise. I've never played a Lumines game. I only learnt that's how you say it, like about 2 days ago. I thought it was like Lumines. I'll pretty much back in anything that the Tetris Effect team does now. Like, that game was so phenomenal. So I'm happy to fall in love with Lumines when the game releases this year. I might even play it in PSVR and dust off that old boy.
Huge.
Yeah, if true.
I can't wait to see if that actually eventuates. All right, James, should we talk about Summer Game Fest Showcase now and the big announcement that was in there that you no doubt very excited for? Do we just need to do another podcast about Resident Evil 9?
We should all just leave and let James just do a monologue for the next hour.
Let him have the room.
Right. I just, before we get to that, I thought the Onimusha trailer looked really good. I wanted to know, since you've played them, what did you think of that?
Well, just Warlords. But yes.
Whatever, but you've played something. I'll take anything.
Yeah, I think it looks really cool. Like, I think we were in the Discord chatting as we were watching the showcase. I was like, it looks like all of the kind of enemies and kind of boss fights and stuff that I remember from Warlords. Obviously, just like catching up with current day graphics and game design. I think it looks really, really cool. I can't wait to play it, and I feel like I need to get on and play Onimusha 2 before it eventuates.
And just before we get to Resident Evil, the one game from this showcase that I'd want to shout out
is
Ill.
I was about to say that too.
Yeah, really gory, very realistic looking survival horror shooter. It looks genuinely horrifying, but I think it's going to be like the horror shooter that I hoped Scorn might be. All like the body horror and all that sort of stuff. So, one that I'll be watching eagerly.
I would like to award Ill the most aptly named game of the weekend because it genuinely made me feel ill. Felt That Box. Okay, maybe that's a strong contender as well.
That's up there.
Ill is like the best way to describe this this game, I think. There were plenty more in the showcase, though, that I want to mention. I don't want to spend the rest of the show just talking about Resident Evil. like Mortal Shell 2, I thought was cool. That made its way into my list. Code Vein 2 as well. Like, Code Vein's obviously not a game I've played before, but seeing the gameplay for Code Vein 2, I thought the character designs looked really cool too. So that was one that jumped out to me as well. Atomic Heart, I was a bit surprised to see that get a sequel.
Two projects.
Two projects. What was that? The Cube was the other one they talked about, which is like in the same universe.
Multiplayer shooter, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mio, Memories in Orbit, like a Metroidvania game, side-scrolling one, very up my alley at the moment that made its way into my Steam wish list. I feel like there's a couple of others I'm failing to mention there. Dying Light, The Beast. Glad to see that get a release date too.
When is that?
August.
August 22nd, yeah. Annoyingly, whilst I'm away on my holiday, but I'll be back pretty soon thereafter, so I'll be able to get to that.
Can we talk about how fucking quickly the Yakuza team shit out these games?
Like, yes.
They should teach Xbox something.
This looked good, though. Strange.
It does. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I don't know how they do it. Kind of like Obsidian with Xbox. Like, they've got three games launching this year, and I'm like, how are they doing this shit?
But yeah, this is Stranger Than Heaven, you mean, yeah? The 1943 kind of detective.
But the last trailer was like 1913. So, like, I think it's going to jump across because it was called Project Century or something. So,
over 100 years, it's a timey-wimey game.
Jump across different time periods or something, which I think is really interesting. And the vibes are just really cool. I'm looking at. There was something else I was going to bring up, but now I can't remember. Keep talking.
There's so many games.
Scott
like...
Pilgrim. Surely there's a Scott Pilgrim fan in there.
Nah.
No. Wow.
I thought the Sonic Racing Crossworlds presentation was great as well. Like, it's I've very much got another kart racer on my mind right now, but for Minecraft to be included as part of this Crossworld situation they've got going on is pretty nuts.
There's also,
Hatsune Miku's in it too.
Right, yeah.
There's just two other games. Two other games that I wouldn't mind shouting out from the Future Game Show, which no one watched. So, a couple of games that you should probably go check out. One's called Crisol, Theater of Idols, which is like a Bioshock cross Resident Evil sort of game, and it's coming from Blumhouse Games. So I reckon check the trailer out for that. That looks hot. And another one would be a game called like Tenet of the Spark, which looks to me like an era-hopping Sifu-like. Like, it's kind of like Sifu, but like you play... Oh. Like through the Viking Age, you play through like modern age and stuff like that. It's an interesting looking game. So check out both of those, I would say.
Okay. I'm looking at Crisol Theater of Idols at the moment, and it looks properly spooky.
The first one looks good. The second one, no sparks from me.
Okay. Well, one out of two ain't bad.
Sparks. It's not sparking joy. No. Anyway. I was just pulling up my wish list because I feel like I added an absolute boatload in there recently.
Did you hear about the new
chat at Arc Raiders? I think is looking continuing to look
meant
pretty
to
cool.
Be really good. I think it's also like funny. Not I wouldn't say funny, but like it seems to be getting a lot of the praise that I think Marathon was going to get.
Yeah, I sort of feel like it could out Marathon.
Yeah, I know. Are they the same? Are they remotely the same beyond the fact they're multiplayer games?
Like, I think they're both extraction shooters.
They're
aren't
both
they?
Extractions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They're both third person. Like, No.
I just haven't heard a single bad thing extraction about Ark from like anybody who's played it.
I thought Into the Unwell also looked really cool. That was another one that's on my list.
I'll give you that.
I failed to mention a couple of crucial ones here. Lego Voyages, the cooperative kind of like spiritual successor to Builder's Journey, which I think if I'm not mistaken, I gave a 10 out of 10. I freaking loved Builder's Journey. Then again, I am a massive Lego fan, so bear that in mind. But yeah, Lego Voyages, basically that, but cooperative, very, very cool. And Blighted as well was another one I wanted to shout out because I'm a big Drinkbox Studio fan, and this looks like they're a take on like a Hades kind of style game. Albeit not a roguelike. I don't think it's a roguelike. 3D action RPG. There you go. So a couple of there I wanted to sneak in. Big Walk 2. I don't know if you guys ended up watching the trailer for that. But that's the new game from House, so the makers of Untitled Goose Game. And we've seen it before, but this was a deeper sort of dive. And it could not be a more different game to Untitled Goose Game. It's really about like walking and exploring the bush with like proximity chat with your friends. So it's like trying to not get separated and communicate with each other when you inevitably do. It's a what?
Strand game, it sounds like.
Kind of, maybe. Maybe there is a bit of that.
Finally,
too.
We're seeing the fruits of the Strand genre.
Yeah, literally.
Anyone else, or do we just let James waffle on about?
Does anyone a speck
mouse? I want to call out Mouse PR. I don't think anyone else has yet.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Aussie game. Looks great. Troy Baker has made his way into it. it's looking good. And I've got it in fact.
He's found his way
he's
there.
He's in everything. I know. And I've got it in Game Critic, so it's going to be a 10. Maybe. Is
anyone here a Spec Ops The Line fan, by chance?
Yes. I did enjoy
Spec Ops The Line. Yes.
There's a new game from like the director of that game called Sleep Awake, and it's a psychological horror game, so... also check out the trailer for that. That's also
it's kind of the best bit of Spec Ops The
What's
Line.
What's the developer called? Is this the Moon People?
Oh, it's a great question. I just know. Yeah, look, I'll come back to you on that.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say that game was called?
Sleep Awake.
Sleep Awake.
It's about Corey. Eyes Out is the developer.
Oh, okay. I'm getting the confused.
Right. Oh, it's another Blumhouse game. They're kind of crushing it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Their first game was really good. I enjoyed that.
Fear the Spotlight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got a stack on the way now as well. It's very impressive. Speaking horror games, though, there's one that was probably one of the biggest announcements of the weekend. And that was Resident Evil.
Deathground.
Can we talk about the way it was announced first? Because I feel like that deserves a conversation.
Oh, that's very true. I'd almost forgotten about how they did that.
There was a walk us through it, James. It basically had three slots. They got Maggie Robinson back in to, because she plays Lady D, right, in Village, to introduce the fact that there's a sale on for Resident Evil.
There was a Capcom
games.
Sale.
And yeah. I was like, is that fucking it? Like, are they for real? And then, about halfway through, they come back and they're like, we've got a special message. And it's like, John Takeuchi, who's like been with the series like forever, and he's talking about how great the series is and how it turns 30 next year and thanks, but Resi 9's a little bit further away. And then I was just like, at that point, I was just like very
James
upset.
Went dark.
Yeah, we were flipping out at that point.
I was just annoyed. Why would they even be here to do that? Like, it's such a waste of time and money and like blah, 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 blah.
Just absolute tease.
Yeah.
But I don't even know why they do that, even though they did announce
it. You could still argue it was a waste of money.
Well, it was. And just, I just feel like it just ruined the surprise because we were all so annoyed at it. And the showcase was so shit.
And then we were in denial when it did eventually happen. We were like, nah, this isn't it. They should have announced it a second ago if it was. And then, sure enough.
Nah, but then I think that made it more of a surprise because you were like, I was checked out by that point. Like, I was like, oh, it's not here. Like, it's next year or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people probably tuned out.
Yeah, I mean...
Period.
But it's not like Capcom's going to be like to him, oh, is the showcase shit this year? Because if not, we won't do it this... Like, he's not... Do you know what I mean? Like...
Maybe they should have that conversation in future.
I don't want to... Yeah.
Anyway, move on.
The show closes and Jeff does his usual, like, little... This is... It's just an... I think it was tearing up. Yeah, I was like, what is this game? Like, what could it possibly be? And obviously, I didn't ever expect that it would be Resident Evil 9. But it was. And it looks great. That's all I can say.
Take us through the trailer. Like, what jumped out to you about it?
Take us through the emotions.
I guess the only thing... Well, I thought it was a Remedy game at first. It felt very Remedy-y. You know, like, with the FBI shit. But then, obviously, they introduced the main character, and then I was like, is it? And then I started making noises, and then it was obviously a Resident Evil game.
He squealed.
So, I think it's good that it's going back to the horror roots. I don't want to say roots, that's stupid, but like Resi 7, like it's the same director as Resi 7, so you can expect it to be a little bit more horror-esque, and I definitely feel like that trailer communicates that a lot. I think it's cool that they're pulling from the deepest cuts of the lore, like to have these new characters and stuff. There's not enough in there to kind of talk about it too much without boring people, but going back to Raccoon City is really cool. I think I don't see why narratively that could ever be justified, but like I don't care. Like I think it's really cool fan bait, fan servicey nostalgia bait.
Help me like position this in the Resident Evil timeline. Like this is the furthest we've been right in the timeline.
Well, we don't really know, but yes, it's definitely. We think it's after Village.
It looks
right?
that way.
We don't know, but yes.
Well, we don't, but, like, you can kind of...
Don't know for sure.
You can, like, extrapolate from the character who the main character's daughter is. She was X years old, and how her daughter is that old. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's definitely after Village. I think it's before the DLC, though, of Village. You know how that jumped really far ahead with Rose?
Yes. Sorry.
So I think it's before that. I don't think it's that far in the future.
Okay.
But yeah, I still think Leon's there. There's definitely there's got to be like some kind of presence from someone else, right? Like from
surely don't get back to Raccoon City without.
Without Leon all of them, the whole gang, yeah. Bring them all back. Don't make it like Smash Bros. Ultimate. Everybody's here. Like, I genuinely think they might do that because it's like 30th anniversary. There's been a lot of talk about this kind of wrapping up the timelines and stuff to start new. I could see them doing that. Bring everyone back for like one last hurrah. But yeah.
Do you think there's like any mention of like the Mega Mycete?
Yes. And-
Yeah, you Absolutely. Reckon they kind of stitch 7 and 8 kind of all into it, and
I think so.
It all like ties everything together a bit more.
I mean, in that trailer, there's something crawling around on the walls and shit, right? And that, like, to me, looked very like moldy coated compared to like the other enemies that you encounter in these games. Would you guys like it to be first person or third person, as casual fans?
First, personally, but that's because I resonate most with 7.
I think, first, I did see, I don't know if what your thoughts are on this, but could it be first person when you were playing as the Gal and third person as Leon and do both?
I think that would be a good way to do it, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be interesting because then it's like kind of
horror,
those
tense,
eras of
action.
Resident Evil kind of coming together. Because I saw this as like falling into the kind of trilogy of like 7, 8, 9. So I imagined it was going to be kind of first person, a continuation of that. But maybe if it does like bring in the story of the prior games, it does like borrow some of the third person elements too. That could be interesting.
If you're playing as Leon, I think it has to be third person, right? I just don't think it would make sense to have him in first person.
People just love to look at Leon, so it would be
just get it in front of me and I'll play it.
Do you give any credence, James, to the theory that I'm reading online that pretty much most of the stuff we saw in that trailer could be like prologue material?
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah.
I think
the Resident Evil prologues. They're always so good.
Yeah, I feel like they're really good at marketing at the beginning as well to be like intentionally misleading. And like Resi 2 had a really cool prologue. Resi 4 had some really cool trailers that weren't actually in the game but kind of set up the game, so like I definitely it's not like something they haven't done before, right? But I do think
I feel like 7 did a really good job of that too, right? Like it was really
7
just
was
like
the best,
like the way times I played that man,
yeah, and like the way they kind of like hot patched shit in without people knowing and like added stuff and people uncovered it, that was all really cool. Even Kitchen, like having that Kitchen demo for so long and then all of a sudden it was actually a Resi game, like that was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this will be really good. I wasn't sure where they would go after Village, but seeing this has me really excited because I am replaying. I'm actually replaying 7 last week before I got other games to play, and it's still so good. Like it's still so creepy. So
yeah.
Question for you, James. It's January next year. We're doing our Fantasy Critic
February.
You draw. No, sorry. I'm painting a picture of you and fuck.
Ah, gotcha.
It's January next year. We're doing our Fantasy Critic. You draw first pick. Are you picking Resident Evil over Grand Theft Auto? Are you picking Grand Theft Auto at all?
Should we be talking about that in advance? Is
Why
that?
Not?
We're are you just forgotten. Wanting the inside scoop?
I certainly won't remember this time next year.
Sure. Why not?
That's
I
it.
Believe in it.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
That's ludicrous. But okay.
Pragmata or Grand Theft Auto? Oni Musha or
Produce taking notes.
You could just fill your list with Capcom games.
Yeah.
Just have strategizing
a real
they've
got already.
Three big game well, two big games next year at
and
least.
Pragmata.
And Pragmata. So big year.
Quickly on the release date, James. Like February 27th, I want to know. Yeah, I want to think from memory. Yeah. Is that sooner than you anticipated? Right? Later
I think it's
than
actually,
you
like? I actually think it's late. I reckon it was meant to be this year.
Yeah.
I think
it's a good time to release it. That February slot is
They always
great.
Put a game out in Jan or Feb and it always does well. Early, like first quarter. But yeah.
I'm pleased to report as well, James, that the group chat has already spun up and we are planning to get together and play Resident Evil 9 together, me and my mates. The date is in the calendar.
That's cute.
That's going to give him nightmares for the next 8 months.
That is just like a disease for which I have no cure.
It's great. It's like a communal thing. Like, we're just fucking experiencing awful. The story the all together.
You're so stupid. You can do better. I believe in you that you can do better.
I've played through all the remakes myself. I didn't... No, sorry, two I... No, two I did play through myself. Three I did, four I did.
Then you can do anything.
No, it's true. Not, did you do seven by yourself?
No, seven's where it started. We played seven
Go
together.
Go back and do that by yourself.
And then we played two together, and then we played zero. Eight together, and I played three and four myself. Yeah. It's a whole thing. It's like a tradition we got going now. It's great. It's good fun.
Fucking awful.
Give it a go. All right. I think I'll leave it there then, unless anyone's got any last minute announcements they wanted to shout out, pausing for a moment to let you do that. No, I do have a rapid fire question for you all then.
Actually. Oh, God, Shannon. Well, no, oh, we didn't speak God. About the Xbox handheld at all, I don't think. I don't
I tried bringing it up. I okay, was like,
move
they started
on. Move
it.
On. Move.
I don't think you were paying attention. No,
tell me about the Xbox handheld.
Tech Thomas Shannon coming in.
He's muted himself.
Has he muted
well.
His mic now?
He has muted his mic.
Yeah. He keeps muting. I think I must keep tapping my spacebar.
King of Tech Talk.
Intervention.
I want to know how James and Brody feel about it. But essentially, it's, an Asus ROG Ally with the Xbox branding. But what's more exciting is they're launching, a custom OS that, shaves off a bunch of system memory and, extends battery life because you're not running Windows in its whole entirety, which is also coming to other handhelds. But yeah, Brody and James, I want to know how you both feel about it now that Xbox are releasing, I guess, a handheld.
It looks nice. I like the form factor of it, the fact that it integrates the controller kind of like the Portal. I think I ragged on it when PlayStation did it, but now that I've sort of seen it in practice here, I'm like, oh, it actually looks kind of good. But that said, if they are doing what you say and they're bringing the sort of OS experience to other like my ROG Ally that I've already got, I don't know that I'm necessarily going to upgrade straight away. I might see sort of how that goes, because it doesn't sound like I'm gaining anything to, except for an Xbox button to upgrade. So yeah,
fair.
I think the OS thing is probably the coolest element to this announcement, because it probably just brings those Windows-based gaming handhelds closer to parity to Steam and what they've achieved with the Steam Deck, I think was always the hope with this device, and it was kind of going to be paving the way maybe for a dedicated Xbox handheld down the track. What else was I going to say about it?
I don't think it's going to move the needle hugely.
No,
but
no.
It's so I do whatever. Think this is the beginning of Xbox's transition to Xbox becoming a PC brand first and foremost. And I think it'll definitely all become like this.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
What I was going to say as well is it's got a new processor in there, right? Which was maybe a little bit overlooked in the announcement, but that sounds like quite a substantial upgrade to it. Just in terms of the efficiency of it, which should help performance, but then also battery life too, if I'm not mistaken. So everything we're kind of talking about with the Nintendo Switch 2, there might be some more improvements in that sort of era.
This is
on the way.
The handheld dream, right? This is going to be any game you can play on Xbox, you can then just pick up on your handheld and the saves will sync. This is what we've always wanted. From a handheld experience in this generation.
But that's going forward, right? If the game wasn't made as an Xbox Play Anywhere game, you don't have that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's every first party game. So it's they've been doing that for a while. Well,
I will say I am a little bit nervous having picked my lane and invested in the Switch 2. I really hope indies I really do hope indies continue to kind of support the Nintendo console. I'd be really disappointed if a game comes out on PC and is available for a year on the platform. Why there and they could have been playing on a
there's no doubt.
Yeah, it's all like 3 million then? In a day or something. So I mean,
yeah, I'm hoping the install base of the Switch 2 is strong enough that day and date it gets game releases. Because there's going to be so... Like the Switch one was my indie machine in so many ways, and I kind of hope that that carries over with this one. But, yeah.
Well, it's not going to get any announcements at the moment, so who knows what the yeah. game is in the future.
I don't think you're allowed to announce for it until next year now.
Free Hollow Knight, I say.
Yeah. Free anyway, sorry to derail. Rapid fire. Let's go.
Rapid fire. My rapid fire question for each of you is, in light of this weekend of new announcements, what is your most anticipated game right now? Be it one of the new ones or something that was already on your radar, what is currently your most anticipated game? Brody, have you got an answer?
I think probably Grand Theft Auto 6 still. It's a basic bitch sort of answer, but it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm just keen to see what they can do with it, that Rockstar touch.
Likewise, mine's not terribly unpredictable, and it's Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet. Still hanging for that one. Eager to see more. James, maybe I could guess?
Pragmata. I want to see how it shakes out.
Yeah. Shannon, I don't know if we're going to get more serious answer from James.
Like, if I could have any game tomorrow, to be GTA, but I'm going to say Donkey Kong Bonanza, just because it's like close in the near future, and it's going to be good.
Not have long to wait. Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a good showcase of the Switch 2 as well.
Did you say because it's close?
Yeah, like I can touch it.
Mind's Eye is out.
I mean, I played
this
it
week, so
yeah, Mind's Eye is out tomorrow,
right now.
So, yeah, that's true.
Is that your
pass?
No, the eyes are closed.
I mean, I am keen to see how that shakes out. Closed, to seems. Be honest.
I think it won't be.
Speaking of games you can play right now, we could play What the Wiki right now, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points last week. That was Brody. He will be in the hosting chair today. He's climbed up into second place, trailing just behind me on 18 points. Brody, you're on 16 points. James, you're in third on 15. Shannon, you're in fourth on 7. And Harry, bringing up the rear on 4 points. But Brody, as I said earlier, you're the host today as the winner last week. Take it away when you're ready.
All right, no worries. The game is an action-adventure video game based on a film of the same name. Developed by Warthog Games and released for GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox, it is the second set of games to have this title. It is the second set of games to have this title following the release of the same name in 2001. I don't understand that sentence. The story follows blank. I'm not going to read any of that. The game received mixed reviews. Critics commented on the game's accessible gameplay and its unimpressive graphics. The player controls the character from a third-person perspective. 2 years after the release of the game on the PlayStation, a new version of the game for sixth generation consoles was developed by Warthog Games and released in 2003. Its gameplay differed greatly from the other version and followed the film far more closely, though it was criticized for reusing assets which from its game that was released the year prior. The game was initially rumored in June 2003 for sixth generation consoles.
Shannon,
yeah, go on, have a crack.
Nah,
it might get
I was going to say King Kong.
It's not King Kong. I might just have to start reading spoilery stuff here.
I'm back.
Tapping stuff back in.
The story follows protagonist Blank, who, after discovering he is a wizard, is sent to Blank, where he makes friends.
Ewan. Is this Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets?
It's not. Where he makes friends and receives magical training, and along with his friends, stops Blank from returning to power.
James.
Is it Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone?
It is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
I hate that.
That was a rough Wikipedia page, I'm sorry.
What are Warthog Games doing now? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Look out for that. They're probably still working on that remake of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Mm.
All right, James on all one. Game number two. All right. The game is an action role-playing game developed by Blank. It is based on a book series of the same name, acting as non-canonical sequels.
Ewan. Is it Aragon?
No, it's not Aragon.
This came up recently because James acting said this is a UNS game, and he was 100% right.
To the story of the books. I'm actually reading the series page, not the page for the game I'm talking about.
James.
James.
Is it Game of Thrones?
It is not Game of Thrones.
Oh. I'm also back.
The game's story takes place after the events of the main saga. It received positive reviews from critics. A console version was scheduled for release in 2009 using an entirely new engine and combat system. This was suspended as a result of payment problems with console developers Widescreen Games. Wonder what they're up to these days. A sequel to this game was released in 2011. A remake of this game was announced in October 2022, which was formerly first teased under the code name Canis Majoris.
Oh.
It will be
Shannon.
Shannon.
Oh, Ewan.
Shannon first.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it because it's wrong. I'll be upset if it's not wrong.
You want to have a go?
I'm worried I'm going to get this wrong too. Is it?
Oh, okay.
Knights of the Old Republic. Star Wars Knights.
It's
of the
not.
Old Republic.
Shannon, do you want to go back in?
Nah, it's not what I thought it was.
Just okay. Say it.
I'll be an idiot. Nah, I'm good.
It's too late.
The remake of this game will be developed using the Unreal Engine 5, the same engine in use for the planned second trilogy. Fool's Theory will mainly develop the remake with full creative supervision.
Developers.
Yeah, you're just saying words. It's too much.
There are three.
Deliriously.
I feel like people would be upset that you haven't got this yet. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Really?
Maybe it's quite possible. It is. There are three camera styles available in the game. Very dynamic. Two isometric perspectives, where the mouse is used to control most functions, and an over-the-shoulder view, Ewan's favourite, which brings the player closer to the in-game combat while limiting vision. In all three views, the controls can be changed to be primarily mouse-focused or combined keyboard and mouse approach. The story takes place in a medieval fantasy world and follows Blank, one of a few travelling monster hunters who have supernatural powers.
Oh,
players can choose
what is
this? Players can choose one of three fighting styles to use in different situations and against different foes. The fast style allows for more rapid, less damaging attacks with higher chance of hitting faster enemies. Alchemy is a significant part of the gameplay. the player can create potions that increase health or endurance regeneration. I'm just jumping around here. Set in the...
Ewan, help me out here. Is this a Witcher game?
It may be a Witcher game.
Okay.
Shannon.
Ewan
is still going. Do what? Relax.
What? He just asked a question.
He buzzed in first.
Did he?
I'll take it. I'll take the buzz. Is it The Witcher 2?
It's not. Shannon.
Shannon. Is it The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt?
No.
James.
Oh, the times are all
James.
Wrong.
Is it The Witcher?
It is The Witcher.
Oh, bullshit. I've handed you both those points.
Well,
you didn't hand him both points. So you handed upset. Him all 3 points because you didn't...
all 3 points. God damn it!
He's now tied with you, bro.
I thought this was like a Witcher like tactics game or something. I didn't know about, but I'm forgetting what the first Witcher game probably was like.
Is there a are they remaking the first Witcher?
Yes
that's what he said.
Wow. I thought he was just making shit up at this point, to be honest with you.
It's under the code name.
To be honest, Canis Majoris. Memory was only about like 20 seconds long. So everything he said prior to that, I was just amazing.
Anyway, well done. Well done, James.
Sweep?
Okay.
Yeah, it was a 3-pointer.
So he's gone from 15 to 18 and tied with me in the process.
Yeah, good.
God damn it.
Big.
That's annoying.
No,
that's really annoying. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, that is me. You can follow me on Shannon Grixty on everything.
Also joining us today was James.
You can find me on X at James, @JAMZ. I'm also elsewhere. Just look.
Blue Sky as well, allegedly. And last but not least, we had Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
The happiest of gaming.